Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome again to our Building a Covenant Community Bible Study series. This is Bible study number 24 in the series. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Well, as we've been saying with each of these studies, I think it's advisable that as you welcome the members of your Bible study group into the home, if you're the host, to make them feel really welcome by offering them some refreshments, whether it be a hot or cold drink. Just let people catch up with each other, have a chat, catch up, and just generally building that community over some of the most magical stuff that God has given us, a drink and some food. And it's a wonderful chemistry for letting people get to know each other. As we look at this study, we're coming up the home stretch. This is study number 24 of 27. And by the time we're done, we will have concluded looking at each of the imperatives, each of the must-dos for building a Christian community, but also for living out the Christian life. Once the drinks and the refreshments have had run their course, then move into whatever room you choose to use, whether it be a lounge room or wherever you're meeting, some kind of den or something like that. And as you arrange people to be seated, ask the questions. Ask the two questions that they should by now be familiar with and prepared for. What are you thankful for? What has happened this week that you're thankful for? And what would you like prayer for? And you as the group leader can note those down, and you'll see a template sheet on the lagana.org/studies page where you can download that, and you can use that also for pastoral care because you're keeping a record of who is present. As you begin the study, as you've taken down, just noted what people are thankful for and what they would like prayer for, then you embark on the study, have someone, perhaps yourself, open in prayer, and then say, Jill, could you just read that first paragraph? And this is based on Romans chapter 12, verse 18, which is the title of the study, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And this is what Jill, or whoever you ask, would be reading. Following Christ leads to a revolution in how we engage with others. The apostle has already addressed the need for the believer to bless others, which begins with the imperative, let love be genuine. Romans 12:9. That's where we started off our series, our study series. But we live in a world where people will not share our pursuit of honoring Christ. These people can be argumentative, contrary, deceptive, selfish, and even nasty. If we choose to respond in kind, two things will result. Firstly, we will be estranged from the one we have entered into conflict with. And secondly, we will be dishonoring Christ. Question one. Based on this New Testament injunction, will it be possible to completely avoid sharp disagreement or heated conflict with someone? Explain. Well, explain and discuss. So in that instance, I would, as group leader, I would just look at someone who's perhaps trying to avoid eye contact, and say, Fred, what do you think about this? Is it possible to live the kind of life obeying Romans 12:18, where you will always be avoiding sharp conflict? Now, in one of the groups that I led, I actually had someone, one of my elders actually, who said, yes, here it's said, you know, it's possible to live a life where you can be peaceable with everyone. He put a caveat on it, and the caveat was this: maybe it's because I see the world as from the perspective of someone who's particularly passive. I don't like conflict, and I do all I can to avoid it. Well, I thanked him for his contribution. I said, does anyone else have any opinion about this? And one of the older gentlemen, a few more years under his belt, said, I just don't think it's possible that you can go through life and not have some sharp conflict with people that is not your fault. And based on this verse, he said, the verse actually seems to accommodate that. It actually says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. And he said, sometimes it's not possible, and sometimes it's not dependent on you. live peaceably with all. In other words, his contribution was the reality of life is that there'll be some people who are just so ornery, some people who are just so difficult to get along with, that no matter how hard you try to appease them and please them and avoid conflict, it just won't be possible. So this will be an interesting discussion for people to have, and hopefully it might actually set some people free from fear of conflict. If you realize you can be polite, you don't have to denigrate the other person once you have a disagreement. You can choose to live peaceably with all, even though the one you are now in conflict with may not. So it's an interesting discussion based on this text in Romans 12:18. In the world, relationships with others are regularly viewed as competitive. Every competitive person generally has the goal to win. The assumed belief is that if you win, I lose. Now here's hopefully, question two, hopefully is a humorous question, and I hope that people see the humor in it, but let's go with it anyway. Following the example and teaching of Christ, what is another way to view our interactions with others? A, if I lose, I'll do everything I can to make sure you lose as well. B, if you win, it doesn't mean you're right and that you're better than me. C, rather than making winning the goal, I can make understanding you and your point of view the goal. D, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I don't like you. E, both C and D. And hopefully, people will see that it's both C and D is the answer. That you can enter into conflict where the goal is not to win by making the other person lose. The goal is to understand that person and to understand their position in a way that brings a lot of clarity to the issue. Even though you may end up still disagreeing, if you understand each other, you'll actually find that there's a principle of life that the one who understands us the most is the one we are drawn closer to. All right, question three. Read Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, which says this, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Verse 3, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What do we learn from this passage? In other words, what does this passage tell us about even Christians getting into disputes with each other and how they sometimes have to be dealt with? Well, we see here that his co-laborers with Paul, these are godly people, these are spirit-filled people, these are missionally-minded people, yet they fell into conflict. And what does he recommend? How does it have to be dealt with sometimes? It has to be dealt with sometimes with a third party mediating, a third party coming in and bringing about some kind of reconciliation. And this will be an interesting discussion within the group. Question four. According to the Apostle Paul's later instruction in Romans 14 and verse 19, which says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. What positive steps can we take to make it more likely that we will live peaceably with all people? And hopefully, as we consider that verse, where it says, let's do all we can that makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding, that we realize that by blessing the person that we potentially could have a conflict with, by doing all we can to reach out to them in a way that shows that we care for them, we are more likely to have a relationship of peace with them. Question five. How does the granting of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, which says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Wow. How does the granting of that prayer make it easier to live peaceably with all people? Because we have the power and the assistance of the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Perhaps one of the reasons some believers might find it so difficult to live peaceably with others is that they themselves are not enjoying the peace of God in their own souls. When someone's soul is disrupted by guilt or shame, hurt or unforgiveness, pride or bitterness, or hypocrisy or duplicity, which really means dishonesty, two-faced living, they forfeit their peace with God. This makes them prone to quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. And if you're wondering where that list came from, it came from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, which says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Question 6. How would applying this injunction by the apostle, that's Romans 12:18, the apostle Paul, have a bearing on our church? Discuss. And I think some of the discussion could go, you know what, if the world saw that we as a church knew how to resolve conflict and that we knew how to get along with each other, even though we didn't agree on every point, I think they would stand in awe. Now, I think that will be a highly attractive church, a church that the world can look at and go, wow, these people know how to resolve conflict. They know how to get along with each other, even though they disagree. And as you go through the prayer points that were raised at the start of the meeting, give everyone the opportunity to select one of the prayer points, and you go around the room starting on your left and you go right around until it comes back to you. It gives you the opportunity, again, as group leader, to mention any of the prayer points that perhaps were overlooked and to sum up the night in prayer, asking God to help each of those in the group to be able to live this out, to live peaceably and to be able to resolve conflict. Well, God bless you. I hope that you find that this study provokes some really rich discussion and it actually builds your church and sets your church up for growth as well. God bless you.